Take a Ride podcast. I'm your host here, Starks. You can find me on my Twitter handle. It's at Starks_industry. You can also find me on Instagram, Fishers of Men 21. I'm not here alone this evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you may be in a fantasy world. I have, man, I almost forgot the saying, the wingman, run to three, LT the Sage. How are you doing today, brother?
Hey, man, I'm back. It's good to be back, Starks. Yo, what's up, everyone? You can find me over on Twitter at, I don't even remember, Sage Network _. I don't even remember my handles. you can also find me on Instagram at LT_SageFit. Actually, yeah, just use that one for now. But yeah, good to be back and go over some of this juicy information about the new preseason that starts tomorrow. Like, I can't believe it starts.
I can't either. And it's been, listen, I want to apologize to the listeners out there. We've been ghosts for some months. It's been close to 5 months. It's good to have LT on. And I got to give him the congratulations. Like, I wanted to do it last year before we got off air. We were in the championship and it was a very gritty battle, but LT pulled out, I think it was 5-4 out of categories. It was humbling to get beat by the original sensei of the dojo of all fantasy basketball. So I got to give him where props is due. He put in that hard work. We both put in that hard work and it was just fun. That was the first time. I mean, we've played each other in the playoffs before, but to be in a championship, to have your rival in the championship, it was rare and it was beautiful. And then obviously having like Ray and the kid going against each other too was funny. You know, we both knocked them out to get into the final. So it was a rare thing and I thought it was beautiful. But with that being said, we're New Life Fantasy. If you guys haven't joined, make sure you join the mailing list. Join as a member for free. It helps our site to continue to grow. We don't just talk about fantasy football, baseball, and basketball. We also talk about the faith of Jesus Christ there. So make sure you do that. Subscribe to Take a Ride podcast. Again, we apologize for us taking some time off, but we're going to be very rusty. Surprisingly, I'm actually doing okay at the moment. I didn't think this was going to run smooth, but I'm sure I'm going to throw the ball and LT is going to throw the ball out of bounds. It's going to happen, turnover. But with that being said, brothers and sisters, I'm ready to take people on for a ride. And LT, I'll run the offense here today, and then you know we'll get you back in the groove of things. No problem, man. So it's just like it's like really like real life basketball. You got to slow people's minutes back in, right?
We're in preseason form right now. Preseason form.
Yes. And then I mean, we transition. Actually, you mentioned the preseason. LT, you just told me the preseason starts tomorrow and it's official. You know, what's your thoughts on that, man?
Hey man, I'm it's crazy. I feel like the season just ended, but last year there was, you know, I guess they started super late last year. So this is like kind of getting them back on, you know, kind of back on schedule, back in the right timing. But of course, the first preseason game is a Nets versus Lakers game here Sunday, October 3rd, 3:30 p.m. And I'm interested to see those new look Lakers, man, because they're all about to get their AARP cards, okay? And so we need to see how they can do against younger, kind of a little bit younger generation. Now again, KD of course is up there as well, but I guess the Nets are also pretty old as well if you look at their roster. So I'm very interested to see not the starters for the Lakers. Okay. I'm not worried about the starters. The back end, they have some people, Starks, that I know you specifically are. I wanted to talk to you about this. Their roster on their bench players, Kendrick Nunn is coming off the bench for them. Wayne Ellington, one of my guys, Wayne's World, is coming off the bench for them. The Monk, Malik Monk, is coming off the bench for them. Trevor Ariza, the Aristocrat, is playing for them. I guess he may be starting. That's silly. Over Carmelo, I guess. But yeah, he's and then Russell Westbrook. So this group, this ragtag group of players, man, that they got. It's a lot of these second fiddles that we used to always talk about, man, like the Monk, the Wayne Ellington. I used Wayne Ellington last year from the Pistons. I used him on my team, Snipe City. So it's going to be interesting. The Nets, too, look good. What's your thoughts on the Nets, man?
Brooklyn, I mean, that kind of transitions well in regards to what is going on in there. You know, I know this is a controversial topic around the world, but you know, we got to kind of call a spade and try to dance around it a little bit, but also mention it. You know, Kyrie Irving is avoiding, you know, he hasn't got the jab yet. I know a lot of people are going to ask, you know, what's your thoughts on it? For me, you know, and I'll save it probably towards the clutch shot. But it doesn't look like, my understanding, Kyrie still, you know, hasn't done that. But the team, you know, going to the roster in particular, who could start if Kyrie is not ready for the beginning of the season? Is it potentially Patty Mills? You know, so that's interesting. That would actually hold value for a cheap guard for a while. Obviously, James Harden is the starter, Joe Harris, you know, Kevin Durant at the four. And the five, you know, LT, is very, very interesting because your boy is back, LMA. But I think they might go with the younger youth in Claxton maybe, but they also have Blake Griffin. So to be honest with you, uh-oh, am I freezing? Are you still good? We good?
You're good, man. Yeah, you're good.
Okay, my bad. So, dang, I didn't even know they had Paul Millsap, huh? What is going on? They, you know, like you said, LT, they got a lot of old heads too. I didn't even know that. So I'm glad that these episodes are going to help me get back in the swing of things. Like, they got our boy, Sekou Doumbouya, right? They got him, Booyah Kyle, on his team James, as well.
They got James Johnson. James Johnson's James on here Johnson. Too for no reason. That he's
the black belt.
Yeah, the black belt. I used him last year too, man. A little bit in that playoff stretch. Yeah, man. He's actually very valuable, more in real life than fantasy. But he's super valuable for them because he's going to give them big minutes down low. He's scrappy. He's high energy. And so, I don't know, man. Patty Mills is actually a good Kyrie replacement, to be honest. Yeah. Because you know Kyrie does take up a lot of volume. Patty's not going to, you know. You're not going to have to give Patty that much volume. And so you're going to be able to get more shots for Harden, more shots for KD. Yeah. And Harden probably played a point anyway if Kyrie doesn't decide to play.
Yeah. And also, I was just going to say, like, for those, you know, it's I think it is important to try to check out preseason, not just in particular what the starters is going to look like, but we like to see what the back end players that come off the bench, because that could open up some roles like for bigger minutes during the season to see how well they do in the preseason, which I think it's very important to look at. But it is good to see LMA back, you know, after the heart situation.
Yeah.
Patty Mills, he would hold, not wouldn't say standalone value, but he would hold value for sure in fantasy. I mean, he's always been a good backup player. And then Bruce Brown, he holds, you know, he had some flashes last season. He's a strange, like a utility knife type of player that gives you counting stats. So he's another player to look in if like Kyrie is not playing. And that's what I was trying to talk about. We're a dynasty driven podcast, but we're going to still intertwine with the mix of the redraft and dynasty flavor type. But James Harden, I don't know if you've seen some of the interview. I think he was I don't know who he was talking to in particular, but yo, they're like, there's been little sayings of like, he's like kind of like it's gonna make some people offended by this, but like he's just acting like KD. And the reason why I'm saying that is because his contract, I guess he can go somewhere next year if he wanted to, particularly. So what I'm trying to say is, did he like, he just said championship. I just want to get a championship. You know, this is like championship time. So with that, how he kind of said it, and he just made it seem like he don't care about anything else but a championship. And how he kind of said it, I can't really articulate exactly how he said it, but you could just tell it resembled some signs of KD back in the Golden State days. So is the pressure is on these players, but at the same time, is it just really about the ring? So I'll just leave it there. James Harden showed some, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen the video, LT, that he was trying to do some new moves on the court. Moves.
He did this weird did this weird hook shot, man. I can't, if he brings that out, man, if he brings that out, and if I see some weird 2 feet shuffle hook shots, man, I'm gonna lose it, man. But I can't deny he's a talented player. Yeah. He's a talented offensive force. And he is one of the best offensive players, in the league. So he can do whatever he wants to do. As long as he doesn't go to the Lakers next year on some silly, as long as these players don't start taking vet contracts on these and stacking, I don't care, because there's now multiple crazy looking teams right now. So, you know what? As long as everyone, there's a good 10 to 12 teams that are just crazy good, I'm okay with that. It just makes it a little bit more interesting, because I don't know who's going to win this year. Last year, I was pretty sure if the Nets were healthy, that they would win. But, that wasn't the case. So you never know what's going to happen once those 80 games go up.
Okay. I'm going to just go ahead and go on a limb to say this again. I from what I was thinking, I was like, I felt like the field was going to win last year. And I'm going to tell you again, I don't think Brooklyn's going to win again this year. I think it's another bust year. I'm keeping it a buck with you. So I know this is a fantasy podcast. So let me just put you both of us on the spot here, LT. And this is what I think is important in the fantasy community. There's going to be a lot of question marks even going to the season. Like, yo, where do I draft this player? This person didn't get the jab. Like, I don't know who to draft. Like, we're going to probably talk about Michael Porter Jr. that is kind of questionable on that situation. So, like, there's going to be value on players coming into the draft. Your fantasy draft is going to start dwindling down their value. But then you're going to potentially cut coupons. But if you cut coupons, it comes with the massive risk behind it. So, knowing the situation, LT, in Brooklyn, Kyrie Irving, James Harden, Kevin Durant, obviously the top tier players, that's going to go typically the first two rounds. Would you treat, if a draft started today, would you treat them exactly the same, or how would you kind of manipulate or even try to draft them at the state right now?
I wouldn't have Kyrie anywhere near my roster. Not even close. Like, I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Listen, if he's like in the third round, if he gets to like the third round status, then you gotta pick him up at that point. But with all of this, mystery surrounding players, and the league is not playing around. Like, the NBA is not the NFL, and the NBA is not playing around. Like, you will not get paid if you don't get it done. We will not pay you. Okay. You're not going to get paid. So the NBA is not playing around. So this is going to cause a lot of issues, and hopefully we get enough information before drafts to make a valid decision. But the way that Kyrie already is, like, we know how Kyrie is before all of this. We know that he's going to, if he decides to go ahead and get it done, there may be like weeks during the season where he's just like going on excursions to, wherever he likes to go, out of country. He's taking breaks, and it's his life, so he can do whatever he wants to do, right? He can do whatever he wants to do. It's his life. But I'm just saying, for a fantasy perspective, he's going to leave you high and dry some weeks because he's decided to do something else. Like, he decided to go backpacking somewhere in the mountains. Okay. So it's just so much that you have to deal with. Now, if he gets to a certain point, you can afford it. Definitely take the grab. Make sure you pick up Patty Mills. Okay. Pick up somebody else to kind of cover yourself if he does go out. That would be very smart. And, that's usually an NFL tactic, but in this case, I would definitely do it. I wouldn't touch him if I to be honest, I would snipe someone for Patty Mills late in those rounds. Mm-hmm. I would take Patty Mills. There's also all chance that Kyrie just doesn't show up to work one day. So yeah.
No, that's good. It's funny you say that. Like, I'm always against handcuffing. It's only good for football typically. I don't like the handcuffing basketball, but in this case, I'm absolutely handcuffing. If you better handcuff if you're getting Kyrie. We know what he's got an interesting mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you were able, if he somehow, but it's like, he's not going to be there in the third round, but hypothetically, if he is, I think you do take the jump on him. Yeah. Now,
even late second. Late second. If you're coming back, if you're like first or second pick and you're coming back on that turnaround and Kyrie's still there, you might as well.
So for me, I transitioned to like a James Harden and KD, who would I draft first, right? That's what it kind of like buckles down to, ahead of one another. Let's just say first round, that we're going to assume they go first round. Now, who would I rather have, Harden or KD? That's where I think that's an interesting thing to mention now. I know years ago when we were, you know, when we started fantasy, I remember, you know, I think LT, we had a keeper status, you know, it was like, you're going to keep Harden ahead of KD. And it was a weird time. I was like, yeah, I think I'm going to take Harden over KD. It worked, but I'm not going to say the same logic is going to happen now. Who would I rather take ahead? So if, let's just say hypothetically fifth pick, I don't know if they fall that James Harden's value is probably going to take a slight, maybe a pick or two down. But if they were to go, if they were up in the fifth pick in the first round, who would I take? I think I'm probably just going to go Harden. It always feels like now, in my opinion, it's safe. But then he was having injuries last year. So there's no really safe pick. These guys are getting older. You know what I'm saying? So, Mike, I'm going to probably I'll take the risk on Harden. What says you, LT? What would you take, Katie or Harden, for the fifth pick first round if you're in a redraft? And even Dynasty?
Yeah, in Yahoo, Yahoo rankings right now, again, those will change as time goes on. But right now, Harden is one spot ahead of Durant.
Wow.
Harden's four, Durant's five. And that's off of Yahoo. So, again, that's just one service system there. I'm taking Durant. Now, the only reason why I'm taking Durant is because of the fact that Harden to me is a player that he can have very good, he has high highs, and sometimes he gives you those lows. I feel like KD is just, you know, he just always is producing. He rarely has bad games. He rarely is going, there's no, he's going to play basketball, right? So Harden on the other end, like, other than the fact that I don't like how he plays, I don't like his style. other than that, but both of them are both, you can't lose with either one of them, I feel like. So I feel like it all depends on what you're trying to create. I usually go for those even kill middle ground guys who are just going to produce on every night. But Harden can win you weeks by himself, especially on that free throw category. Now, I think his free throws went down just a little bit last year, but I mean, there's a lot going on last year. We're not going to dwell too much on stats, but, you know, Harden really can get, you know, take care of the rock. So, that's the thing that you just got to keep in mind, when you're looking at, you know, Harden's going to give you more assists. KD's going to get, your percentages are probably just going to be a tad bit better with KD. Those are the caveats there. KD still gets free throws. He still shoots free throws at a high clip, and he's still going to make them. So they both do that. But volume-wise, Harden, you know, Starks is pump up the volume, right? So you know Starks is going to go with Harden because Harden's going to pump up that volume on those counting stats. Whereas KD, he's going to take you throughout all of your – every place you need to go, he's going to be there. He's going to take there. He's going to give you a little bit, maybe more rebounds than Harden. But his percentages are amazing. He has great percentages all around. So he can't really hurt you anywhere. Kind of like Jokic. He's kind of like a Nikola Jokic from the center position over to the power forward, small forward. So, yeah, I would take KD only because he's a safer option. He seemed pretty healthy last year. He's got through a year of that injury, seems to be doing well, seems to be taking care of his body. So I would go KD, but I think that's less about the players and more about our personal styles.
That's good. That's good. Now we're going to go ahead and get to a little bit of the analytical side, because I know you guys are probably chomping on the bit to get to like Dynasty content and just for the future reference. And, we'll go to Charlotte. We'll talk about, we'll kind of dig in Charlotte's team. And this is interesting. I'm trying to even think of the guard. I don't think he's on the team anymore, but LaMelo, I'll just jump right into it. This is kind of like moving up the, you know, what is like, this is one of the clutch shots typically I would take at the end of one of the episodes of like digging on a player and what I think in the future. And this is kind of tough. LaMelo Ball, I believe it looks like he's the starting point guard now for Charlotte. Who was the other guy? We got Terry Rozier. Who was the other guy last year, LT? Do you remember? Like, I don't remember the other guy. They were playing musical chairs at the guard spot.
Devon, Your guy Davante, is that his name?
Davante, was it? I know he was like a waiver wire pickup a few years ago. He's not even on a team anymore. It doesn't look like it. I can't remember his name.
I don't know.
You know what I'm trying? Gosh, what is his name?
Yeah, it was D something. It was your boy. You used to play.
Graham Crackers. That's right.
Graham Cracker. Devontae Graham.
Devontae Graham. Is that it?
Yeah, something like that.
What team is he on? Do you know?
No, I'm about to check.
Wow. Yeah, check that. Check that. So it looks like, and just cut me off whenever you find him. LaMelo Ball. Yo, this, or actually, what team is that?
Pelicans.
Pelicans. Interesting. We'll talk about him after this. But LaMelo Ball, this is very interesting. So I'm going to take a dynasty and redraft flavor approach on this. This year, he should have the paved way to be a breakout player. Now, he was pretty much starting to break out last year. He was coming off the bench as a rookie. You know, I went on a limb and said he's the best Ball. And you're like, LT was like, yeah, I don't want to say that yet, but I think LT might probably change his mind now. I think LaMelo Ball is the best Ball out of the Ball group. But the last month of the season, he was inside the top 50, right? That's solid. Definitely what he was doing. A guy that was coming off the bench. And in that, you know, inside the top 50, he was averaging 3 snipes. I didn't even know that. It's crazy. You know, LT and I, we like snipes pretty much. We are hype for the snipes. And then the assist. Yeah, that make no sense. But it actually rhymed. That's cool. Oh, we must be back. 5 assists a game. Steals, 1.5 steals. Good. His charity stripe can improve. He was like, you know, 78% the whole year. What was he? He could do better. But either way, he's not really a usage rate monster, but that is okay. I think his usage rate is going to climb up this year. Now, what is this dynasty? I'll mention the dynasty here, but I want to talk about his redraft this year. In Yahoo formats, what is he? He's going high as 25, 23. Whoa. I don't know if I can pay that. So if you're paying that for him, that is showing that you are confident that he is going to be inside the top 25 in fantasy. Do I believe that he can get there and better? Yeah, especially to be a starter. But it's a little rich, just a little too rich for my blood. Now, dynasty formats, 3 to 4 years. Oh, yeah, he's going to be a top 25 guy, I believe. But as far as a redraft of what his price is in Yahoo, I don't know what it is in ESPN and Fantrax if you play in redraft league. But this year, it's a little too rich. Now, you still got Terry Rozier. He's like a 2 combo-ish guard. And then you got your boy Jihei. You see that? PJ Washington, but they did lose. Devontae Graham Crackers is not there. So the good news is they're going to get a boost all across the board, but Ball will also get a boost. But I will pass you the ball. That's my thoughts on Ball. What are your thoughts on Ball, man, in the team in Charlotte?
Wow, 25. You know what's funny? He's going to go 25 just because of his name in most fantasy formats. People, you know, if you're looking in at leagues, there's going to be a guy there that's going to want Ball. And a lot of people feel like he's going to take that next step. I do think he's going to be pretty much the same he was last year at the end of the season. I think that's who Ball is. I think that's what he's going to be. And with Graham's not kind of clamoring for minutes, I think he's going to be able to play a lot of minutes next year too, maybe more minutes than he did last year. So Ball is a good pickup. At 25, I don't know. I don't know if he's a 25, but he's definitely a conversation in that third to fourth round, but he's going to go earlier than that. Just off of name alone, it's one of those players kind of like, Zion Williamson from the year before where, he probably didn't deserve to go that early, but again, and he's done pretty good, but, just based off of not the unknown, you don't want to pick somebody super early unless if you're like all in. And people are going to be all in on LaMelo, people especially who followed him all throughout his careers and everything, or players who had him last year who he helped them get to a playoff berth for a championship. They're going to really love LaMelo Ball. My biggest thing on this team is, what does Jihei do? And Jihei, you know, used to be my original guy. And I just don't know let's see what he comes back from the injury. Let's see if he does good. Your boy Kelly Oubre is over here as well. And Mason Plumlee. So I'm not too sure what the starting lineup is for them. We're going to definitely have to look at these preseason games and see what the starting lineup is. But I know Miles Bridges is, I know they really love Miles Bridges down there. Dunk machine. So this lineup is very interesting. So we'll see who plays, who gets the minutes. Jalen McDaniels also, I think he was on the Timberwolves last year, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But he's over here now too. So he was actually, you know, there was a couple weeks where he also performed. So definitely a lot of young guys. I would imagine Kelly Oubre starts, man, or if not, that's their sixth man for sure. So yeah, very, very interesting lineup. But yeah, man. G, hey, what do you got? You're old. You're the old man in the room, man. A lot of young guns over there. Can you keep up? Because I tell you what, they got a lot of young guns out. If they feel like G, hey, might end up being the sixth man, we'll see what happens.
You know what? I'm glad we started this because it's already giving me goosebumps to talk about basketball again, because like I'm thinking of a breakout player. I think Graham Crackers is going to be a massive breakout player this year. Let's go ahead and just transition. I'm gonna go ISO on this. I'm glad to see this. The Pellies, man. That guard spot, Devontae Graham, he's gonna be starting there. The minutes is gonna be his way. And playing next to Zion, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's going to get a lot of threes open. And that's, to me, that boosts a lot of solid value in volume. He's not going to be concerned about other – I mean, they got pretty good guards, you know. They got Na over there, Kira Lewis Jr. I mean, they got Sato, Thomas Satoransky. But I'm not really concerned about that at all whatsoever. But what I'm happy to say is – gosh, I'm pulling up the wrong information here. His value – man, let me just say, he's one of those, it seems like when he got into the NBA, he was like an older rookie, because I think he's like 26 just now. So he was like the older rookie. But the thing that he is going to produce, I'm trying to get to it. You give him a solid amount of minutes, his per 36 numbers, he's going to have you some popcorn stats from time to time. He might score. I think he could average more than, I think he could be a 17-point average player, assist probably around the sixth range. Not going to give you a lot of steals, I don't think, but it's the pump up the volume. He might be, and I'm not going out on a limb because it would be too aggressive to say this and it's going to hurt people's ears. He could be like a super watered down Lillard, I think, in the Pelicans. I'm not saying he's going to be Lillard,
I'm just messing with you.
No, you're good. I'm just saying, I know people are like, oh, you're crazy. But I think he's going to be a super watered down Lillard over there. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm excited to draft because that is the guy that I want to actually draft. Like if I was drafting right now, because his value right now, he's going like in the eighth, ninth round in Yahoo formats. To me, I'm pouncing. If you like cheap guards, I'm going to pounce on him around the seventh or sixth round. I think he's going to potentially – he could be an inside top 60, maybe even inside a top 50 player, because the situation in the Pelicans with Brandon Ingram, Zion Williams, and oh, they got Jonas Valanciunas.
I was about to say, I just looked at. Yeah.
You see that too?
Jonas, one of the Jonas brothers is over there. Oh man. They're weird, man. They're weird. They're weird. You're big on Grams. I'm gonna be super, super trying to search out Brandon Ingram. In my drives after looking at this roster, I think that he is going to have a wonderful, wonderful year without Mr. Ball over there messing up his flow. So I think him and Graham are gonna work well together.
Yeah, and let's see. So Graham, I think, was averaging.
Graham, now listen, Graham, I'm with you because Graham was Graham destroyed me in a couple matchups with the kid. Graham just exploded out of nowhere, man. Just absolutely exploded, was dropping 30, 40 points. So I know he has the potential. So you're on to something, Stark.
Okay, yeah, like this is the type of teams like me and LT, we like to look for cheap cutting coupons and certain teams of players and what you can get. It always feels good, especially like a potential breakout player. Because he's good. It's the minutes that was hard. It was musical chairs in the other team, which is Charlotte. So let me just transition real quick back to Charlotte. Terry Rozier. I don't know what to take of this guy. If you drafted him, you felt he had a career year last year. Let's just call a spade a spade. But my question is he going to sustain even what he did last year? You would think so, since Devontae Graham Crackers is gone. I can't necessarily guarantee that, but I'm interested even in him. Let me just see what his Yahoo draft value is right now. Let's see here. Rozier. Oh, he's going – shoot. Okay, he's going in the sixth round, close to the fifth. So, okay, if you like stars, who would you rather have, Rozier or Devontae Graham Crackers? You'll cut a coupon at the moment for Devontae Graham Crackers. A small one. I would actually lean Graham. And I'm a Rozier guy. I've always been a Rozier guy. He sucked, but I've always liked him. He didn't suck last year, clearly. But I actually would lean towards Graham Crackers a little bit. What says you, LT?
Yeah. I would lean towards Graham Crackers too. Only reason why I would say, because looking at that Pelicans, their team looks very top heavy. They look like their top five is going to be the top five there. They have some backups, you know, like Jackson and Hart, you know, some of those are the guys, but those are what you call pure role players. So I don't see anybody in there that's going to really be pushing any of those front five for minutes. So those guys are going to be on the court. So Graham is going to get that. He's going to get that time. And he's going to be, as you would like to say, pumping up the volume for sure, because they're going to need his scoring along with Ingram and Zion. So and he's going to get assists this year, right? Like he's their point guard. It looks like I don't see anybody else who's really running that point position there. That's better than Graham. So he's going to get assists too. Terry Rozier does not get you. He gets you 4.2. I can see Graham easily averaging six to seven assists a game in that system. So he's going to give you close to those points, probably more assists and probably more counting stats, to be honest with you, those steals.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to transition. Typically we do the recent news in the beginning, but we're going to be, like I said, just dribbling the ball, however, but it's going pretty good today. So the recent news, Kawhi Leonard, he underwent surgery back in July the 13th. You know, they're saying he's ahead of schedule. They said, you know, he should be able to return back to practice around March and April. That's the most ideal situation and scenarios, what they're saying. And I know in the expert community, they're probably saying we're staying away from him in redraft leagues. I get it. Dynasty formats, I'll just say this. If you're trying to contend, I would still actually probably draft him the back end second round, if possible, if you can pull that off, if you're in a dynasty format. Now, redraft leagues, I look at it like this. Hopefully you have an IL. I'm sure you have more IL spots, especially with the coronavirus, because there's going to always be players that's going to be taking time off. This situation, I might have to say, like, I'm probably not touching it with a 10-foot pole in redraft league, but let me just say this. I know this is a cop-out move to say depending, but it is honest, like, depending where he falls at. Let me see where he's going at right now in redraft formats, if that's even the case. He's going into, like, the 12th round. I would draft him at that spot. I don't think not earlier than that, but I think that's the sweet spot. And throw him in an IO spot, assuming that you're going to make the playoffs in a redraft league. But I'm going to probably stay away from him this year. LT, what says you, man?
Yeah, I would probably stay away from him. I'm not too sure on. If he's ahead of schedule, you might want to. I mean, it depends on how far you go that you can get him. The farther you'll know, like, I think for most people, when you get into a situation where there's a player out there that may not be back until later on down the road, you'll know, you'll look at your team, you'll kind of be in a position if you're looking at that player and go, okay, I can take this chance. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I wouldn't touch Kawhi Leonard. So that's just a personal thing. There's something about a person that you just can't really tell what they're thinking at any point in time. He went from, you know, Raptors to the Clippers to now unsure about his future with the Clippers to music videos with Drake. I'm not too sure what my man is like, where he's at. And so it makes it worrisome because I don't know if he's, you know, he seems very into basketball. But he's like at these shows with Paul George, and he has like a shirt of all of them three, like standing over the Duncan. I forgot who they dunked on, but they dunked on someone. And he's got this shirt on there. Like, that doesn't seem like something Kawhi would wear. So I don't know what's going on with that man. So I don't know, but hopefully he comes back. And if you get the chance, that's where he's going in drafts, I'm sure that will change as news changes.
Yeah.
So it probably will be higher up. You're probably going to have to go a little higher up in those rounds once we get to actual drafting. I wouldn't touch him. But if you get to a point where you have the ability to, you have a strong core already pushed in on your team, go ahead, take the gamble and hope at the back end of this season that he comes out and does well for you.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good. So transitioning into maybe two more players, and we're going to condense this. We're actually pretty good. We always somehow go over an hour, but this is going to be a better, little bit of more shorter one. Couple more players here. And actually, let's just go into the hot topic that is just going around. I talked about it a tad bit.
Oh, it's Benihana?
Yeah, how'd you know? Benihana, since you already know, I'll just pass you the ball. And what's your thoughts on that, brother?
Hey, man, listen, I understand Ben Simmons' feelings is hurt. I understand where he's coming from. I'm not going to sit here and lie. I understand his feelings are hurt. I feel like he feels betrayed by his team, by the Philly organization, and his coach. His coach and Doc Rivers didn't do a too good job, in that playoff run. But at the same time, everything they're saying is true. So it's also, you got some, at one point in time, you got kind of look in the mirror and kind of just realize that, you know, you still are the same player you were when you got here. You are the same guy. You haven't really changed. You gotten you know the game more, you know, you have experience, but you're the same guy. And that's not how basketball works. That's not how the NBA works. When you see multiple transformations in basketball from players like Ray Allen. I mean, he was always a good shooter, but he went from, you know, that guy, the role of that guy, into a three-point shooter. You see a lot of these players changing how they actually play to be able to stay in the league longer, make more money. That's why they're doing it. You know, they have to. They have no choice because the league is changing. They have to change with it. And Ben Simmons is still stuck in the mud on what he is and what he has to do. He is a great player, but you have to have at least a mid-range, at least a Chris Bosh-style mid-range. You have to. It's just the defense will gobble you up, and it's going to cause issues for the rest of your team. And then you also have to be able to hit some free throws, because then at the end of the game, you want to be on the court. They can hack you. It's part of the game. It's part of the process. Is it boring? Yeah, but it's part of it, especially in those tight games in the playoffs where your athleticism is not going to win those games, those close games on the court, because everyone's athletic at that point in the playoffs. So he just needs to realize that. I don't know if he has the right people in his corner telling him that for fantasy purposes, no matter where he ends up with. If he gets traded right before your draft, I would definitely not pick him anytime where he usually goes in those third round, maybe the fifth round, sixth round for right now. Because if he's holding out, and then if he does end up going somewhere, is he going to be a starter? Is he going to fit? I don't know where Ben Simmons really fits at if he doesn't change his position, if he doesn't turn into like a power forward or something on a small team. But in fantasy purposes, I'll pick up not Steph Curry, but Seth Curry before him.
I'll just Seth Curry. The only Curry that matters. There it is. I was waiting for it. Ben Simmons, like, I think they're saying they're gonna withhold or not paying him the $8.25 million salary installment due on Friday.
Golly. Why is he playing these games, man? Why is he playing games with this organization? They're just like, all right, we're just not gonna pay you. Okay. You're like, we don't care. We have Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, we have Shaq. I think they still got Shake Milton, right? Yeah. I think they got Shake Milton. Shake Milton better than, I'm gonna be honest, Shake Milton probably fit better on that team than he does. So to be honest, I mean, not trying to make any jokes or puns, but he's probably fits better on that team because he can hit his free throws and he actually can hit a three, and he'll take a three. He can hit a mid-range. He can do everything you need your point guard to do, and he can you know, pass the rock. Seth also can handle the rock. He used to have to do it over in Portland. He can handle the rock too. He can play point sometimes and run it up the court. He does that now. So
yeah,
Ben is a great player, but they don't need him to be successful. And he needs to understand that. And he's in his feelings right now, as they say. So we'll see.
Yeah. So in Yahoo formats, he's going around the seventh-ish round.
That's about right.
To be honest with you, in dynasty formats, if you were to do a draft today in dynasty formats, I'm jumping all over earlier, way earlier than that. You know, that is the wise thing. He's going to land somewhere. He's probably going to try to play to prove people wrong. But real quick on it, you said everything that needed to be said. But one thing I want to say is I just remember last year in the playoffs, and I had a hard time watching a lot of playoff games, but there was a segment that I actually seen. Like, this dude was about to, like, did a spin move. He was to the basket. And I'm sure you've seen it, Tim. Like, and they showed highlights of it. Like, he passed the ball off. Like, yo, that was a layup or a dunk. He didn't want to go to that foul line. He was scared to get hacked. Like, that doesn't matter. It was a mind thing. You just couldn't close, you know. I mean, like you said, LT, everything that's been being said about him, it's unfortunately, it's just true,
It's true. And he's very good. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
But mentally, he's just something's missed. Something's gone. Something's different. Cause it's like a mental battle with him. These free throws, everything just seems like a mental issue.
Yeah.
Rather than because I've seen him hit threes. Remember last year we were seeing him hit threes in the preseason and he took them, but then he didn't take them again. Like, what are you doing? Like, you have to try it. You guys are going to make the playoffs anyway. You guys got a crazy roster. Just try to expand your game, work on your game early, try to do some different things, trying to get more confident in it. He's not even trying. Like, he's not even trying to add that to his game or use it in a game system, game level. And yeah, people are going to make fun of you because you're going to look silly. They're like, oh, look at that shot. Ben Simmons, all he's trying to shoot. Who cares, dude? Like, who cares? Like, just do it. Get better at it so that you can win games. Like, if he hits free throws, they might be in the championship. You know what I mean? Like, their team is that good with Joel Embiid and those other guys. Like, Seth Curry, like, was like their best player in the playoffs last year. Like, one of the, like, outside of Embiid, of course, but he was ouchy. But it was Seth Curry. Seth Curry was your best player. When you say that with a team of Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, and all those other guys, no wonder you lost that series, you know?
You know, it's kind of crazy that, oh man, there was something else I was going to say. Oh, they were the number one. They were the number one overall team going into the playoffs. You know, that stuff doesn't matter. But even still, their record was the best in the East for a reason. You know, they were doing something right. You know what I mean? But he just kind of just like you said, it was a mind thing. But this actually transitions to two more players I want to talk about. And then we can kind of get to the clutch shots here is, Ben Simmons, you know, one of the rumors was that he can potentially go to the Kings, and actually ties into a player that is, you know, getting, I would say, a lot more hype train along behind it. And there's echoes behind him. And that's, Tyrese Haliburton, right? He should be starting at the two, I believe, in Sacramento. Buddy Hield probably at the three, with De'Aaron Fox, Harrison Barnes. What's going to happen to Marvin Bagley? Maybe he starts, maybe he does. I think he's Marvin Bagley's – go ahead.
He's still there, man. No, I was going to say, he's still there. Like, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen.
But the Kings are an interesting team. A few years ago, they were good, and then the last year or so, they've just been, like, back to the Kings, just not good. But Halliburton, obviously, if Ben Simmons goes there, is going to damper that situation. But there is, like I said, there's – I'm not going to say there's smoke and mirrors, but he had a good season last year as a rookie, right? And I'm that can't be anything that it, to be ignored. But I want to say this. Where is he getting drafted? I know he said per recent news he's been working on his three-point shot or taking more. Let me see what he's – yeah, he's been working on his three, like – a big thing in the summer. I like to hear that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So his value, let me see in Yahoo formats. Dynasty leagues, you're all over him. There's no intention about that. But go ahead. Where's he going? You know?
No, I didn't see his name yet. I mean, he can't be going.
I
didn't
see his name. He's, oh, yeah. No, I don't see it either. Yahoo? Yeah, I don't see his name in the rank is in Yahoo. That's oh wait a minute.
Oh yeah, it's 50. It's right 50. Inside 50. Yeah, right inside 50.
I feel like I'll find other players. I don't know if I can pay. Would you pay the 50? Top 50? I don't know. Would you do it?
I would.
Okay. That's fair. I mean, he's a good player. Right at
that 50 mark, somewhere in that 50 area. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think you're okay taking him in that area because, and the reason why I say this mm-hmm. is because he's playing shooting guard.
Yeah.
But he's the facilitator on the team. That is his role. And so if he's working on, he was already hitting threes at a decent clip last year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2.1 average per game. So, that's already really good. So if he gets upwards closer to three, that's just going to make his value even better. He doesn't hurt you in free throws, 1.3 steals, and 5.3 assists. And that's because, remember, half of that season, he wasn't even starting really, and then he kind of came in and started starting due to injuries to Fox. What does the Fox say? You always get hurt. That's what the Fox says. So Halliburton, to me, he's the point guard there. So I just think that he's going to be around that fit. I think you're okay, especially if you need if you've been going heavy on everybody else except for point guards and you need a point guard in those middle rounds. I think that's a great guy to pick up as maybe your one or two point guard. I think he's going to be doing a lot this year for the Sacramento Kings, and if you look at their roster, there's not a lot there. To be honest with you. So not a lot there. You got those two. My guy's gone. So yeah. There's not a lot there, y'all. So it's gonna be Fox and Halliburton really holding down the fort at that point guard positions.
Okay. So that kind of stems into one more person, and then actually, no, two more people, because we're going to talk about one of your guys. I want to save that one kind of the last until we get to the clutch shot. But it's one of my original guys, Hunter X Hunter. Looks like he is supposedly getting healthy now, and that is DeAndre Hunter that is not familiar with that terminology. He was injured a lot. you would cut a coupon with him if you're in deep formats like me and LT play. And he had some times where he flashed like top 50 value. Now, do I think he's going to do it in this loaded Atlanta offense? No, I don't think so. But and he's going around past the 10th round, past 100. So he's worth it in a redraft format to really look at, especially if he gets the start. And I know some people are be a little bit skeptical on the knee injury. But to be able to go through full practice without any restrictions on Thursday, to me, that's music to my ears. And I'm actually going to pounce on that just to be another sleeper. In my mind, as a competitor in fantasy, I'm like, I hope he doesn't explode in preseason, but he could, right? And that's just going to happen. But just keep your eyes on him in the preseason. See what he does. How does he look with this loaded Atlanta? And, you know, and I know people are concerned. Well, like the team is loaded. They got, was it Tubog? They got Kevin Herter, Cam Reddish. You know, it's loaded. The two and a three is loaded. But we have to remember, Hunter X Hunter was playing so good at a point in Atlanta that he was the starting three. So that's nothing to take lightly, and it's nothing to sneeze at. So look at that. Atlanta, They got far in the playoffs. Was it a facade? I think it was. You know, I'll call a spade a spade. Are they a good team? Yeah, they're a good team. Do I think they can repeat that in the playoffs? No, not really. Trae Young, we know he's going to do his thing. John Collins, Clint Capella. I mean, they got the Twin Towers there. But I'll pass you the ball. What's your thoughts on Hunter X Hunter real quick?
Yeah, he was actually the main guy there before he got hurt. So you think that if you remember how Gallinari started playing better, Kevin Huerta started playing better, and Cam Reddish, they just got more minutes because Hunter X Hunter was down. So Hunter is that guy. They are looking for him to still be that guy there. So you definitely want to see how the minutes are shaping up. If he's healthy, great, but again, that's his problem. He has a problem staying healthy. So you know, it's one of those things where you're gonna have to hope that he can stay healthy this year. Yeah, this team is loaded. I think Bogdan was also hurt for some time there last season. So it's just one of those things where you got to keep an eye out on injuries. Bogdan Bajanovic, he's also one of those guys you want to look out for on this team. He came in really, you know, he had some really very spicy playoff games. So that is just something for you to keep in mind on that. Other than that, man, this team looks very there goes DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright found himself on the Hawks. So I was looking for him over on the Kings. He's over on the Hawks now. He's irrelevant now. So he's gonna be looking behind Trae Young's coattails there, spelling him maybe every so often. And with Lou Pepper Wing Lou. Other than that, man, that's it, man. Hawks to me, you're investing in those main guys, right? Yeah. You're investing in Trey. You're investing in John Collins, Clint Capella, Bogdan, and then maybe you know, Hunter X Hunter in those later rounds when you're looking for somebody that can explode. You know, so secret's out now, but yeah, Hunter X Hunter, I like him too. We'll see.
All right, LT, this is the guy that I'm sure that you'd be enjoyed to talk about. He helped you anchor a championship to close up shop against me. And I was upset because there was a player I missed off the waiver wire, and he was the one. You picked him up, KPJ, Kevin Porter freaking Jr. the news here, and I'm gonna pass.
I thought you were talking about my guy from the Magic, man. What was that guy?
Dude put me to bed too. Like I had him too. I messed up. Kevin Porter Jr. It's looking like it is. He's confirmed that he's starting at the point guard. Yo, wild. He's talking about he's trying to average 10 assists per game. You wouldn't rule that out. So John Wall, we know he's in like limbo right now. We're not talking about Wall. We're talking about Kevin Porter Jr. And it is revealed that the starting Houston players is going to be Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, The Wood, Daniel Tice. Oh, that's the starting four. I guess they revealed the four, not the five. So this is what it looks like right now. Kevin Porter Jr., he was a league winner for sure for some fantasy GMs and coaches. But I also see he kind of – there were some games he crapped the bed against me. I seen that LT too. So he's a weird player, but when he does good, he does good. I will pass you the ball. You can say whatever you want to say about Kevin Porter Jr., and I'll feed off of that, man.
Yeah, KPJ was definitely my guy last year, man. What a pickup. I think he had like a 50-point like monster game like during my playoff run. I don't understand what was happening, but I loved it. Yeah, KPJ, you definitely would have picked him up. He's gonna be a hot pickup. In most leagues, you probably are gonna be able to get him. People aren't gonna maybe remember some of those things, because at the end he was very inconsistent at the end. He was having some bad games in there. He was, you know, and then he would have a good game, then he have a bad game. And at the end of last year, a lot of teams that weren't in contention weren't really pushing to play their guys at the end of the year. So a lot of people took rest days that they, you know, normally wouldn't if they were really in the thick of it. KPJ, though, if he's starting and he is the starter, man, get your popcorn ready, okay? When you pick them up, I don't even know where you who, go get them. I don't even know what exactly. Hey, you ever drunk chocolate milk? I don't even know what Yahoo is I don't even know what place is going, but you got, I'm gonna jump on him super early in our leagues. Just got to keep, yeah, 90. He's 90 right now on Yahoo. Yeah, that's disgusting. That's very disgusting. He's prime and ready to go. In my league, unfortunately, everyone's gonna remember that I had him. Especially the kid who he put 50 burger on. Yeah. So the kid's gonna be just yapping in our chats, and so everyone's gonna be, oh, KPJ, don't let LT get him. So it's gonna be hard for me to get him again. But if you can pick him up, amazing player. They don't got him in the PG spot yet, but I'm sure that's gonna update and change on Yahoo once they see that he's been added to the he's a starting point guard over in Houston. Another guy on there that I'm gonna do, because since Starks wanted to put out my business like that on KPJ, Jayshon Tate. Okay. Ooh. He's probably gonna be the one that's gonna win that job, okay, in that starting lineup over House. House may win it, we'll see. But I think Jayshon Tate's gonna win it. He is the steals specialist, okay? Steals specialist. Hopefully, let's see if he's, you know, added to his game. Maybe he hits some more snipes. But he's a steal specialist, y'all. So definitely Jayshon Tate on the back end. If you're looking for steals on your team, if you really think you can hammer steals every week, Jayshon Tate's a good pickup for you since Starks wants to put KPJ out there.
Yeah, and another guy that I think is going to be a potential sleeper on this team is Jalen Green. I wouldn't even say a sleeper, right? But I'm looking at grabbing him. He's going close to where KPJ is going. Actually, Yahoo's like going 100. I'd like to try to take a risk on him. Well, it's not even a risk. I'd like to try to get him further down in the draft, a score, get you some snipes, and be a solid. Houston's going to be a fun. This is like the weird type of. It's not like a real wasteland team, but it kind of is. It's a real weird team. And this is the type of go ahead.
I was going to just say they're young. They're just very young. Yeah, yeah, they're super young.
Yeah, and them being young, that's what you just got to roll with. And I like to see. I mean, whatever happens to Wall, I think it's clear it's not going to be in Houston. So
he wants to be traded.
He probably wants a ring. I'm sure at this point. But that is it. We can get into the clutch shots. This was a really good episode. I guess the clutch shot, I think I was going to talk about, I can't remember what I said at the beginning of the episode that I will talk about a little bit. The jab. So we have to be careful on how we're saying it, so that way we're not demonetized, but actually we're not even monetizing anything. We just do this for free so far. The podcast, we used to get a little bit of incentive, but I guess they took, not that they took our sponsors away. I guess I would have to be proactive and looking into that again. But as far as the jab goes, we're going to have to talk about it a little bit, because that's what's going to happen with some of these players that he's going to have this hard times. I mean, we talk about Wiggins. We could talk about my boy Jonathan Isaac, that was speaking very articulated his words, and he said some truth. You know what I'm saying? He's a Christian also. And I would take a risk on him, but, you know, I want to condense this episode. We're almost there. But the clutch shot that I'm going to take it's more of a question, but at the same time, I guess it is a clutch shot. Kwame Brown. Wow, he cannot. He went in on everybody. He can't take it anymore. He just cannot take it. I'm sure if you guys don't know, just check out his YouTube stuff. I'll just leave it there. But I guess an additional clutch shot is I have the potential, and Humbly is able to get a person on this podcast, a special guest that used to be, and it's not a lock, but it's potential, a guy that used to be on ESPN, sports analyst, that is now on Fox Sports now. He might come on an episode to be a guest to talk about, share the faith, but I'll condense it too, because I know this is more of the basketball podcast. Well, I'll save it, like condense it, and LT will chop it up where it'll be the basketball oriented, but I won't say the name yet until it's confirmed. And we'll, you know, be able to talk about basketball, but it's humbling that we're able to get, you know, an actual sports anchor and analyst on here. So that's a nice thing to say. But yeah, as far as Kwame Brown, just YouTube his stuff. He was a player that he was a, I mean, it's called spade a spade. He was an NBA bust. He doesn't think he was. He's just like, you know, if you would have gave me the minutes. And honestly, in right form, he's kind of true in some way and fashion, because per 36 numbers, if you would have gave him the minutes, some of the stuff he was saying is kind of true, but he just wasn't that good as an NBA player. But all the heat and all the bust that he kept hearing, he got tired of it. He went in on Stephen A. Smith. He went in on like a lot of players, or obviously the Up and Smoke podcast. I don't know if you know about the LT. I'm sure you do.
Oh yeah, I watch clips from theirs all the time. Yeah,
they went in, but I'll pass you off. That's my clutch shot, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Up and Smoke podcast is funny too. Kwame Brown's funny as well. It's good. It's funny to see some of these players, like the Karl Malones and everyone else, kind of go off on how they really were, and it shows you Scottie Pippen. It just shows you how different, like, just how different basketball is as a culture from back then to now. Because now everyone's like, oh, let's go, you know, let's go to the fair together. And now back then, those dudes were business. Like basketball was a business, and of course, some of them were friends and such, but they didn't. Some of them just did not like each other, and so that's funny. But no, my cut shot, I gotta talk about it since this is my first podcast back, the Portland Trailblazers. So you know I gotta talk about them. We did absolutely zero in the offseason to try to make our team better. But we made a coaching change. We got the good old Chauncey Billups over here in Portland. Chauncey Billups, hopefully, we'll get the job done. Okay. Yes, that's how I say his name. Chauncey Billups. Hopefully he gets it done. We do get Larry Nance. I am excited to see what Larry Nance can do. We needed some athleticism at that four spot. We've been praying for it, hoping for it, wishing for it, and we finally got it. He's gonna be a good compliment to Yusuf Nurkić in fantasy terms. I know you didn't know Dennis Smith Jr. was over there, did you, Starks?
I bet you didn't. I didn't know.
Exactly. Yeah. You didn't know Denny was over here. Denny's, right? He went to Denny's. We went to Denny's. I don't know why you would, but we did. Ben McLemore is over here. Don't know why either. And Marquise Chris is over here too. Exactly. Starks, laugh it up. I know it's funny. Again, pick up Lillard. Okay. In first round, he's going to have a monster year. I feel like he's going to need to do everything again. And CJ McCollum, I would pick him up too. He's going to have, I think he has a lot to prove, because a lot of people are basically, he was the main chip in those trade talks. That's our biggest piece. And basically everyone's telling him he's the problem, right? They can't win with CJ at the two. So I think he's going to have a big year, and keep an eye out for Larry Nance. I really honestly think Larry Nance is going to have a great year in Portland. I think he's a very compliment big to the way Lillard, pick and rolls, et cetera. I think, because remember, Carmelo's gone. So a lot of that point the points that Carmelo was making needs to be distributed evenly amongst the team. Again, a lot of that's going to be Lillard, CJ, but I think Larry Nance is going to have some. I think he's a sneaky, sneaky big on the back end of your drafts. Because if Yusuf, I think he can stay out there too in most formats. So that's it. That's all I got. Patrick Patterson's over here. Oh, Anfernee Simons as well. Pick him up in the back end. Dynasty formats as well. I think Anfernee Simons is making that turn. So, yep. That's all I got. That's my clutch shot for today.
Okay. So it's good having you back, LT. It's good for us to come back here. Again, we apologize to you listeners. What I'm going to try to do this year, we typically did one episode a week. I'll probably sneak in and do a solo and probably do like maybe twice a week. That's the trot. But if not, then essentially we'll at least do once a week again. But this is going to be a very interesting season. We have a lot more to unpack. We'll go over more teams in the next coming episodes, and then we'll obviously talk about preseason games, and then, you know, back to the basics. And I'm looking forward to the season. So you guys can find me on my Twitter handle. It's @Starks_industry. Ask me any questions, and I'll try to get to you at a prompt time. And you can also find me on Instagram, Fishers of Men 21. And yeah, I do more of the faith side of things. So if you have, you know, questions about the walk of Christ, my door is always open to that. But I'll pass you the ball. LT, where can they find you at, man?
Yeah, man. You can find me on Twitter, SageNetwork_. You can also find me on IG, LT_SageFit. These podcasts. I also have a YouTube and gaming channel that you can check out on YouTube, Sage Network Gaming. Just look me up, going through all the stuff. So if you have any questions about gaming, faith, or fantasy, let me know.
All right. So guys, it's good to be back. So with that being said, have a good evening, morning, afternoon, and take a ride.